Hello, everyone. This is George Watkins. Welcome to our Sunday Night Blessing Live. Glad you stopped by. Trust that what we say and do and our prayers together and some of the scriptural teachings that we dig into will be a blessing to you today. Stay tuned as we join the live broadcast, and then you're welcome to make a comment, send us a note, and just enjoy the time together. God bless. See you soon.
Hello, everyone. I'm still learning how to push the right buttons at the right time. Thank you for joining me on this Sunday night live broadcast. We have been doing this now about 10 weeks. Some of our nights involve a guest speakers or visitors that come in. Last week, we had a wonderful visit with Kirsten and on the subject of the spiritual world. Next week, I want to invite and have some of some special guests come. I've got some people lined up ahead of me, so we'll be talking about that later. Now, I want to just encourage you as we get involved tonight in this live broadcast, call somebody up or text somebody. Tell them that George Watkins is on the air, and we're going to talk about some good heavenly stuff tonight as we dig into the Word of God and into the things that God has put in front of us to learn and to investigate. Scriptures told Timothy, Paul told Timothy to study, to show himself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So as we break open those nuggets, those golden nuggets of truth by discussion and investigation and research, personal research as we look into the Word of God, we get a lot of wonderful treasure out of it. Amen. Now, as you join us, if you haven't subscribed to our channel, it's a big help to us. It strengthens our output, they tell us, if we have subscriptions. And also comments are a big deal. So do some commenting or let me know where you are, where you're from, what's, what part of the world that you live in. That's always encouraging to see different people that tune in. And we're starting to touch a number of nations, not in MASH yet, but in seed planting. That's kind of fun to see that happen. So thank you for letting us know where you're listening from or watching us from. And as you do that, we will pray for you and remember you in our prayers. Amen. The thought I had for tonight is how to discover your purpose in life. Now, I know that's kind of a repetitive thought. How to find out what God has for me, where am I going in life? But my original title was how to yield to the Holy Spirit to discover the will of God. Now, that's a long title, so I condensed it. But that's really what I'm after tonight, is learning how to yield to the Holy Spirit, how to hear and to be sensitive to His direction and to the nudging of the Holy Spirit. You see, the purpose that we have in life in general is to please the Lord. Now, I say in general, in the general sense of being obedient. That's what we are made for, is to please the Father, isn't it? To be obedient to the Word of God. Well, in that sense, then, we have a purpose. I would, as a pastor and as a counselor of people and as a father of the house, as it were, in many senses, with young people being coming in and marriage counseling and young women, young men being married to one another, counseling them in their life's journey. I had to boil it down to more than just, well, be obedient to the will of the Father and shove him out the door. Often I had to give some detailed, not instructions, but ideas. Hey, have you thought about going to school and learning how to be a plumber? Well, I want to be an astronaut. Are you sure you're called to that? Mathematics aren't your greatest strength, or whatever it takes to be an astronaut. So those details of life. So how do I yield? What does it mean yielding to the Holy Spirit? Some of you soldiers that have been in the way for a while or in the fight for a while. I was going to say some of you old soldiers, but we don't want to put the old stuff on you, because if you do that, you begin to slow down a little bit. I love the spirit of Caleb. At 85, he was still wanting to take the mountain. So, Lord, give us that spirit of Caleb. Now, some of you ones that have been on the journey, you understand how to yield. But some of you newer ones, the ones that are just coming into what we refer to as the Holy Spirit, yielding to the Holy Spirit. Now, we know the Spirit of God lives in us and dwells in us. We understand that by scripture and by experience. Often, we feel something when the Holy Spirit comes, especially at the initial baptism, when we received, as we say in our Pentecostal lingo, language and understanding, we received the Holy Spirit and spoke in other tongues. Many of us have testimonies of on the floor, late at night, under the weight of the glory of God. Oh, I can't tell you the times that we couldn't get off the floor. We had to crawl to the door to get out, out of the anointing so we could go home. Now, that's an experience you don't forget, but some of you haven't had that yet. So how do you yield to that? The first thing you do to yield is to believe. And when you believe, you begin to give in to what you're hearing. Now, let's take it in the natural character, the way we're made. When you give your name, you are beginning a yielding. Someone says, hello, I'm George. What's your name? When you give your name, not your address and your phone number yet, but your name, it's a beginning of a relationship where you are going to begin to receive from the person that just asked your name. Often, Jesus commanded the demon to say, what's your name? And when they gave their name, they yielded something of authority. They submitted themselves to a higher authority. I don't want to be weird about this or, be scary about it. When someone comes up and says, what's your name? You rebuke them and run. I don't want to get that, that detail, but there's a principle to it. So the first thing we do is we submit ourselves by taking on another name. And that other name is the name of Jesus. And when we begin to believe, we are yielding to the Holy Spirit. Now, technically and scripturally and theologically, all those big words, Jesus the Father, Jesus the Son, God the Father, God the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, are all one. So when you yield to one, you yield to them all. So when you yield to Jesus, you're yielding, you're submitting yourself, you're opening your heart up and your mind and your emotions to the Holy Spirit. So what happens after that? You begin to obey the urges of the inner man. Now, we know what urges are in the outer guy. I feel a chocolate ice cream urge coming on. What do? You find yourself eventually in front of the icebox. Some of you younger people would say the refrigerator. Some of us were raised with real ice cubes, making it cold. Okay. In front of the refrigerator, and you're dishing up the ice cream. Why? Because you had an urge, a desire, something in the natural just came, a sugar. I'm just having a sugar craving. So what do? You find yourself in front of something sweet, some kind of sugary substance, so you can satisfy that natural urge. Well, the same thing happens in the area of the spirit man. When you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit in the initial baptism, as we understand that, where the tongue becomes a signet that yielding is happening, has happened. Why? Well, the reference in James is that the tongue is a controller of the whole life. Now, just think about that for a moment. Everything that happens in life happens because of the tongue. And that means, of course, our words, what we say, and so forth. Say into the mountain, or we can curse ourselves by condemning ourselves every day. You stupid guy, and you'll never make it. You'll never be anything. You're always going to fail. That's the tongue saying the same thing. The I love you, will you marry me is the opposite of I hate you, I want a divorce. It's the same tongue. And James says it's like the horse's bridle and you know, the mouthpiece, the bit in the mouth. They guide the horse, and the ship's rudder that guides the ship, the tongue does that. So when we yield to the Holy Spirit in that initial baptism in the Holy Spirit, and the tongue becomes a signet that the kettle is full and starts whistling steam, you know, you can always tell when the kettle is boiling because it starts hissing. So it is with the baptism in the Holy Spirit. When that filling comes in and we're yielding to the Holy Spirit and being, as it's termed, being filled with the presence of God, then the tongue becomes submitted and speaks things that we did not make up or learn or study. We call it the language of heaven. Heavenly language, glossolalia, as they've termed it in the last years. Okay, that's a yielding to the Holy Spirit. Now, when that happens, then I am sensitive to a different voice. I'm sensitive to different desires. And as I exercise that, it becomes as a muscle strengthens through use. So yielding to the Holy Spirit strengthens through use. The more you yield, the more you obey, the more you say yes to the Lord, the easier, in the sense, it gets. Just like it's easier to pick up a 40-pound barbell if you do it enough times, the muscle takes over and it becomes easier. So I'm pointing to the direction of healing to the Holy Spirit, healing to the Spirit of God, to find our purpose and to find the will of God for us. So we know what the will of God is in general, don't we? We understand that the will of God is to be prosperous and be in health, according to 3 John 2. Prosperous, be in health, even as thy soul prosper. We know it's God's will that all men be saved, men and women be saved, come into the knowledge of the truth. We know that. So that's the will of God. But what is the will of God for me? Do I go to Bible school? Do I go to college? Should I marry this girl? Should I marry that girl? This guy, that guy, whatever. Should I go to Texas and join the ministry down there? We had that opportunity about 30 years ago. Maybe 25 years ago, great church opened up in Dallas. I was pastoring in Mount Vernon at that time. Great church, and double the salary, bigger building, more people. And we were interested at that time to see what God's will was. And so in order to do that, we prayed about it and felt like they gave us a ticket, plane ticket to come down and preach for them and meet the people, meet the board of elders. And so we jumped on the airplane, went down to Dallas, Texas. And God helped me out because the door was closed even before we got there because the former pastor decided to extend his time. Didn't have anything to do with me, I'm sure, but it had to do with his change. So the Lord shut that door, but I had yielded to finding the direction of the Lord. Now that story could be repeated in my journey so many times that I don't remember all of them, but they certainly are there often where, Lord, should I take this meeting? Should I go to this country at this time? Should we proceed in this teaching that we're doing in the church? Because I did a series of teaching as a pastor where you take a subject and you work it for several weeks so that the subject can be absorbed into the system of the body where people hear it again and again. So I'd pray about that. I'd say, Lord, what are you saying to the body of Christ? So I would yield in my prayer time and yield in my listening, meditating time to what God was doing. Now, he would speak back to me in knowing. I love that phrase that Paul used often, or at least in this one scripture. He says, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now, there's a knowing. Someone coined the phrase, I know I remember Kenneth Copeland saying it, in my knower. Well, we knew what that meant. There's something in us that we just know it. And as a prophet, when I speak as a prophet, which I do often, there's a knowing. You say it because you know it's right. You say it because you know God is speaking it to you, and it's in, and the importance of it is solid stuff, and you don't waver. You don't say, well, I think I hear. No, you hear something because there's something in the knower. So I know in whom I have believed. Now, as we yield to the Holy Spirit, and as we learn to yield to the Holy Spirit, the steps of a good man or order of the Lord, good man or woman or order of the Lord. So the steps we take, there's internal, knowing that this is the right way to go because of, and here it comes, peace. Let peace, the peace of your heart, guide you. Let peace guide you. I watch my little puppy out in the yard, and she is guided by her nose. Whatever the smell, there must be 1,000 smells out there that they follow. And she'll follow a smell across the yard, you know, go from one smell to the other. There's an inner sense that's almost like a scent, and we can smell it in the spirit. You know that you know. Now, if you're a married person, you have a partner that is a double witness, and that's such a security when you develop that criteria of agreement. When you develop that criteria of agreement. Now, if you're not a married person, don't feel like you're, you know, condemned of being confused. Come on now. I love what 1 Corinthians 1 and 25 says, and I've got it here in the Mirror Bible. Because of the delicate interdependence of the various parts of the body, it is natural that no schism can be tolerated. Instead, every member considers the other with affectionate care. Now, what does that mean? That means if you'll link in and become part of a body of believers, Now, when I say a body, I don't mean a mass of people. If you're in a church of 50 or 5,000, you only connect to a handful that become a become members that, you know, that you relate to and that you know and that you interact with. You don't have the capacity to connect with a vast amount of people. But those people can be a witness. If you don't have a witness, a peace, if you know your pastor in a way that you can have counsel. Some of the churches that I go in and out of are too large to know the pastor very personally. Often assistants and associates take care of the counseling. But if someone in your church that you relate to that you can trust their word and they have a kindred spirit, that's where you get a witness. Come to them someday and say, I've been called. I feel like I've been called to Bangladesh to preach the gospel. Okay. What do you do about that? I don't have a partner. I don't have a husband or wife. How do I know a witness? How do I know someone to agree and bring that peace? Well, that's where you build your relationship with someone or some people or a body of people. Now, as you mature and as you develop in your muscle, you're exercising the spirit of listening and hearing and trusting the Holy Spirit. There's oftentimes you don't need that anymore. Now, I'm not saying that you never need it, but in many of the exercising of your life, you don't go to someone every time you have a Holy Spirit direction and say, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? No, you would do it in the larger community, you know, the bigger expressions, but you don't do it in the small things. As a young child, you are helped across the street or you are helped down the stairs because you are still developing your muscle coordination and all the things that help you stay safe. You've got your hand in the hand of your parent or some adult that's helping you down the stairs. Well, you don't do that when you're 18 unless you've got some physical problems because you have developed. But at 18, you want to go to college, but you don't know which one or what you want to study. So you sit with your father or your mother and you say, what do you think about this? Now, it's a different challenge. You need different muscles for this one. So it is in the spirit. As you develop your sense to hear, you may start out in the gifts by tongues and interpretation. For some of you new ones, if you don't understand that, 1 Corinthians 12 is a good chapter to study. Tongues and interpretation, you are, when you're new at it, it's just scary and you step out by faith and you take a chance and God comes through and you, at the end of it, you say, oh, wow, wasn't that something? I didn't know what I was doing and God gave a word and the church says amen and that was the word. Well, you don't do that later on in that tongues and interpretation, you don't have the same emotional release because now the muscle has exercised. Well, then you step into a prophetic where you're prophesying now. That's another level. Then you are elevated in, as you develop in the body of Christ, you're elevated into being a prophet in the church or a prophet in your community. And the people hang on your words. It's all that exercising the muscle. But this word out of 1 Corinthians, no schism. Now, what does that mean? He goes on to say in the 26th verse. I'm in the Mirror Bible. If you haven't read it, it's a great work. It's a great read. It's a paraphrase. It is impossible for one part of the body to suffer injury without the rest of the body being immediately alerted to it. The pain of the one is the pain of all. Stick your finger on the hot stove and your toes hurt. Amen. Well, maybe not directly, but your toes are going to do something. They're going to dance and run. and say, ow, 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 and stick it in cold water or something. Why? Because it's impossible to have an effect in one part of the body without an effect in it all. That's one of the wonderful things about being united and having unity with other people in the body of Christ. Amen. Now, that has nothing to do with control, nothing to do with domination, where that someone's going to tell you what to do. We got involved in the church got involved in the shepherding movement back in the 70s. And the Lord was giving us some instruction in discipling. But as it always turns out, the human side of the body of Christ runs off into the other side of the ditch. And they did that in the 70s. Trying to control. It got so bad that you'd have to go to your shepherd to find out if you should buy a new refrigerator or if you should wash your car or if you should marry someone, all those things. And it cut off our direct connection to the Holy Ghost. So when I talk about witness and I talk about agreement and I talk about no schism in the body, I'm not talking about some person standing between you and the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about some person telling you to comb your hair to the right side or to the left, or you should wear red or black or white, or this is the uniform for the day. No, no, no. You don't ever yield your will. You only walk in submission to authority, to the level of authority that's needed at the time. Amen. You don't give yourself over to the dictates of anyone, because you have already been married to Christ. It's an amazing thing. I just love to encourage people to have those face-to-face encounters with the Father. And when you exercise that muscle and begin to take in the personal relationship with God and begin to step into that spiritual place called the anointed presence of the Father, you'll find your sensuary gifts, hearing and seeing and sensing, all those feelings, you'll find them accentuated to where you begin to hear clearer, you begin to know different things clearer, you begin to understand scriptures clearer. Just an amazing thing to do that. So on this Sunday Night Live, I encourage you to submit yourself to the Holy Spirit. And as you do, I want you to know the plans God has for you. Amen. You say, well, preacher, if I send you a letter, would you tell me what I'm to do in life? No. Number one, I don't know. Number two, you need to find out the will of God. I had a little note scribbled on my desk here. I saw it a minute ago. He that is convinced against his will remains convinced unstill. Well, that's an old phrase, an old poem, a poetry phrase. So if someone convinces you by the authority, you know, shepherd, I'm your authority, you've got to submit. A man to a woman, I'm a man, you're a woman, submit, all those crazy stuff. If you do something out of coercion, where they're coercing you to submit, or they're forcing you into something, if you don't do it out of the heart, if you don't have a heart change, you won't be submitted. I'm often reminded of the little guy that got reprimanded for being rebellious, so he had to go sit in a closet. Now, I'm not recommending this. This is a story. This is an illustration. So it's quiet in there, and Mama says, "What? I wonder what Johnny's doing in there. Johnny, what are you doing in there?" He says, "I'm spitting in your shoes." Well, he was forced to submit into the closet, but he was still rebellious in his heart. So I encourage you today, as you're finding the purpose and the will of God for your life, to first of all submit to the Holy Spirit, and you do it by love the Lord your God with all your heart. Just love on God, and you'll find your submission to the Holy Spirit comes natural. Just love on God, and you'll learn the sensitivities of the gifts. Love on God and learn to love the Lord with all your heart, and you'll come into the spiritual realms and the spiritual gifts, and you'll learn how to pray differently. You'll learn how to confess. You'll learn how to prophesy. All those things will develop if you will just love the Lord your God with all your heart. Amen. Well, I bless you today. Thank you for joining me on this Sunday night live broadcast. The Lord nudged me to do this about 10 weeks ago, and we'll continue as long as there is an anointing on it. I trust that you're receiving as I'm giving. And one of the 80% of the effect of this live broadcast, coincidentally, is the repeat of it. So those that have listened live, thank you for that. But this will continue to go on. And I'm expecting what we say and do on these videos are going to be repetitive. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your subscriptions. Thank you for your thumbs up and your likes on Facebook. Thank you also for your giving as God nudges you to send us a gift. You can do that through the notes below, through PayPal, and also snail mail. We really appreciate all those things. And we love what God loves. And I love to hear from you, so do so. Send me a note. Until next Sunday night on live, and tomorrow morning on our daily morning broadcast, you can find it on the same channels here. We will love to see you then. God bless. Thank you for being with us today. It's such a pleasure and a blessing to us to know that we're able to speak into your life and give you something extra to chew on for a while. Be sure and contact us if you would like some prayer or teachings of any sort that we might be able to help you with. Don't forget, be sure and subscribe to our channel. And if God's nudging you to send us a financial gift, you can do that through our PayPal account. The notes are there that you can find in the notes below. God bless you, and we'll be seeing you at the next broadcast.